This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
What's up, guys? It is Trish Blackwell, your host of Confidence on the Go. You have stumbled upon the podcast episode, the community of confidence that is dedicated to really accelerating our lives to the next level. So not that so we can better ourselves for the sake of ourselves, but that we can better ourselves for the sake of others, that we can be the best versions of ourselves possible, that we can really live out the life that we were called to live so that we can help others do the same, and that we can love others more and serve others more and really make a difference in our day-to-day lives. We are on episode number 65. Now, if you're a returning listener, I want to thank you for coming back and investing time in this community and in yourself. I want you to know it's always my top priority to absolutely make every week's episode worth your time. I know time is, gosh, it's one of our most valuable entities, and I want you to know that I value yours. So it's my concerted effort every week to deliver you new content, great applicable strategy, and ways that you can use a little bit of time to make a lot of difference. Now, if you are a brand new listener, I want to give you a huge welcome, a huge high five, a big old hug. Just, I'm glad you stumbled upon the show. Whether you were recommended the show by a friend or perhaps you just found us in iTunes, just welcome. This is a place where everyone is accepted, where you're not too old, you're not too young, you are not too fit, and you're not too unfit. This is a place for everyone. So like I said, we are on episode number 65. It's kind of a fun number. The theme is move on. Move on. Like how to move on. And that could be applied in so many different ways. The way I'm going to be talking about today is how to move on from where you are. I think so many of us have gotten used to being stagnant, that perhaps we haven't shaken up ourselves or moved our world or really shook the shackles that would have insecurity, fear, doubt that hold us back. We haven't done anything drastic for possibly a decade or more. We just have gotten used to how life is, and we sort of accept it for that, and we take it and we build our own sense of complacency in it. I'll tell you what, there's nothing that riles me up as much as complacency and stagnancy, because I know that is not how we were meant to live. I know that there is so much more out there. And I know from firsthand experience that I've been in that space. I know what it feels like to be stuck. I know what it feels like to wish you want more, to want more, to wish for more, and to think that you know how to get there, but to not have the courage to stand up and take the first step. You know, the thing about moving on is not a grandiose decision that needs to be made. It is a simple step forwards towards the life that you envision for yourself. It's a simple step forward. That's it. You don't have to know all the answers. And we've talked about this on previous podcast episodes, but it's, you know, repetition is the queen of mastery. You know, I really believe that you cannot hear this enough, that the first step is always the scariest. And it takes that first step to get any action or momentum. The thing about moving on, the reason why so many people never do, is that they're unwilling to take that first step, that action step. But gosh, imagine what could happen if you get that. Now, there's a lot of different reasons, a variety of reasons why we don't take that first action step. We think we have to know the next 10 steps and we only have the first one figured out. So we get so afraid of step number 2 and 3 that we never even give ourselves to get to step number 1 or 10 because we won't take that first step. That's lack of confidence. It's an insecurity. It's a fear that we have to have all the answers. But the thing is, you don't have to have all the answers. other things that hold us back is we don't see, we're looking so frequently externally. We look so often laterally to our left and our right to see what everyone else around us is doing. But the problem is we're comparing ourselves to people who are just as scared as we are. So because we don't see someone stepping out and doing something great, we think that, well, who are we to think we could do anything in the first place? But that's the danger of looking at others and comparing yourself to others, because other people are watching you as well. And what happens is by watching people who aren't doing anything, it's a whole bunch of people who just stop doing anything. But it's true. I mean, you can read study after study about people who do amazing things tend to be surrounded by people who do amazing things. And it's not because they necessarily sought that out, but it's because they've created a community of people who say, I'm going to do this. Watch me step out and take action. Well, you watch that first person do something and you all of a sudden go, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Well, who am I? Why can't I do it? They're just like me. And then you get this domino effect of person after person after person taking that first step of action, that moving step that really is the key to getting us to move towards the goals, towards the legacy, towards the life that we're supposed to live. You know, if you're a runner, you probably know this story. And if you're not, you may not have heard of Roger Bannister. But Roger Bannister is one of the first person to break 4 minutes in the mile. He did this decades ago. I actually didn't intend on talking about him today, so I don't have his full story pulled up. But from my memory, my recollection, it's an amazing story because they said it was impossible. They said it was humanly impossible to break 4 minutes in a mile. But Roger Bannister knew something different. He knew about the power of the mind. And he, beyond and in the face of everyone's lack of faith in his ability, he broke it. He broke the barrier. Now, interestingly enough, within a few years, there were dozens of people who then broke the 4 minute barrier. So before Roger Bannister, no one, because they said it was not possible to be done. It took one person to break it for dozens of people to be able to do it thereafter in a very short time frame. It shows you the power of collective consciousness. So if there's no one around you right now doing anything, charge forward. Start being that leader. Take action and stop letting yourself be stagnant in whatever it is that's just made your life average. Life isn't supposed to be average, guys. Life is supposed to be great and celebrated, and life is a gift and it is an action. Now, moving on doesn't happen automatically. I mean, you've sort of picked that up, that there's this action element that must be engaged in order to do it. But that's why so many of us are so burdened by the things that really have dragged us down in our past, that we feel like we've conquered, and then we find ourselves fighting these same demons, so to speak, over and over. And all we want to do is shake them off and move on, but we're not sure how to do it. But I think the problem is that we don't do it because we think automatically we should just, quote unquote, outgrow certain phases. Now, some of these burdens I'm thinking about, just ones that came to my mind as I was thinking in preparation for today, eating disorders, general insecurity, weight gain, acne, bad grades. Perhaps somebody told you were average and that was 20 years ago and you can't shake that. Abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, whatever it is that's been holding you this in this repeat cycle of saying, I'm not good enough. Oh, see, I told myself so. You have to let it go. You have to move on. And this is particularly poignant for me. And I was thinking about this. For those of you who have read my book, The Skinny Sexy Mind, you know my journey. You know my story was a 10-year-long eating disorder. That's a third of my life. A third of my life was spent battling food, battling my body, hating my body. And so the last 10 years have been spent reframing that, rebuilding, renewing my mind, saturating my mind with truth. And there are days, though, I will tell you this, especially as an author on a book about eating disorders, and particularly about as a speaker who specializes in confidence in eating disorders, I I struggle sometimes to not define myself by an eating disorder. That, oh, I'm Trish Blackwell, I had an eating disorder. Because that if I continue to think with that frame of mindset, with that identity, that eating disorder is part of my identity, as this is part of me, then I'm dooming myself to never be able to move on. That I'm always going to have that fear in the back of my mind that, oh, what if I relapse? What if I slip back in? Am I really free? Oh, what if I'm just making this all up and fooling everyone? But none of that's the case. The case is that is not who I am. And it's not even who I was, because that eating disorder wasn't Trish Blackwell. That was a circumstance and a disorder that I struggled with. It was part of my journey. It was part of my story. But that's it. It's circumstantial, and it's something I can leave in the past. We so often are unable to move on because we let our past be defining features of who we are. But it's not. They are circumstances and ways that refine us and mold us. But it's certainly not our identity. And today I challenge you to look at your past as a circumstance, not as an identity. Your identity is so very different from that, but we have to separate that. Otherwise, we'll never be able to move on. If you want to live free and you want to be the best version of you possible, you cannot allow negative identifying factors in your mind. They're simply not who you are. And so if I could ask you to walk away with one thing today, I would ask that you understand that you are not what has happened to you. You are not what you've struggled with. You are who you are. Your character, your potential, your personality, that's who you are. And, you know, I'll give you a personal training example. One of my favorite things I ever heard, and I actually borrowed this from Aaron DeVia, a trainer that used to work for me, an amazing trainer, very passionate, just empathetic. And he himself had lost over 100 pounds, and he was extremely fit, and he wanted to help. He's particularly passionate about helping people lose large amounts of weight. And one of the most poignant things he ever said that I heard was when he was speaking to a new prospect or a new client that had a lot of weight loss ahead of them, he understood the emotional factors that were involved, that there was a lot of emotional baggage carried along with that, because in our society, our identity and the way we've allowed others to describe us and the way we've allowed ourselves to describe ourselves is by using words like fat or overweight or chunky or thick as adjectives part of our identity. And so what Aaron did and so powerfully pointed out and points out to people still to this day is if he's sitting across from somebody who says, well, I'm fat. I just don't want to be fat anymore. And he says, let me reframe something for you. First off, you are not fat. You are simply carrying around extra pounds of fat on your frame. Yes. Do you have fat on your body? Yes. But you absolutely need to change the way you use that word fat. It cannot be an adjective. It is a noun. You are carrying fat, but you cannot use that word as an adjective, because the adjectives that we use to describe ourselves and describe our lives become part of the identity and how we see ourselves. And it was just a powerful way to go, wow, what adjectives are you currently allowing yourself to say about yourself that are possibly holding you back from being able to move on and go pursue the life of your dreams? You know, I want you to really take action. Today's a day of action. And I want you to decide to simply not be a certain way anymore. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, it might be insecurity. It might be just a painful introvertedness. Maybe you're just painfully shy and you want to break out of your skin. Maybe it's losing the fat that you're carrying around with you. I want you to decide to make a change today. Whatever it is that's holding you back, it's time to change it. And I had two very significant points in my life when I realized that when you, this whole make a decision and just act on it today really does work. The first story is when I became a personal trainer. I remember being really just uneasy. I was so excited to get into the business, but I thought a personal trainer had to have a quote unquote perfect magazine ready body. I was really nervous. I remember standing in my mom's house, actually in a sports bra, and spinning around and saying, "Am I good enough?" Which of course she laughed and said, "Of course you are. This is, you're here to help people, not to here to have a chiseled perfect body. Let's get your focus right." But that beside the point, what I learned quickly in the personal training industry, and for those of you who are in the fitness industry, you know this, is it doesn't matter how many people you want to help. If you can't sell them your services and you can't get them results, you're not going to have any clients. So I had to quickly learn the world of sales, and I knew nothing about it. And I knew I wanted to help as many people as possible. So I had no choice other than to be great at sales. And I was insecure and shy and just introverted. I mean, there's no other way. I know shy and introverted are the same, but I was that. And so I had an amazing mentor at that time who said to me, "Trish, you just need to be a different person when you're inside this gym building. When you're inside this club, you become Trish the Trainer." And that's where I got Trainer Trish. I started embracing this almost like an alter ego. And I made a decision that I really wanted to help people. And that the fact that I really wanted to help people meant that I needed to get to move on past my own insecurity. I had to get over myself. I had to get over the fact that I wasn't comfortable talking in public, that I wasn't comfortable walking up to strangers and saying, "Hey, how's your workout going? I'd love to sit down with you and give you more of my time," and not be salesy about it. But I made that decision and I embraced it. I'll tell you what, I chugged a heck of a lot of caffeine every day before I walked in that building, and I reminded myself on the hour, every hour, you are energetic. You are the life of the party. You are the best trainer in this building. You will make people's lives change, and you are extroverted. So I literally, you guys, went from a reserved trainer to a crazy, loud, high energy, overly exuberantly enthusiastic trainer, and realized in that process that as I was faking it till I made it, I actually faked it till I became it. And as I, in that transition process, I realized that, oh my gosh, this is who I was meant to be anyways. But the point of me sharing that story is I had to make a decision. I was at a crossroads. I had to decide not to be a certain way anymore. And the reason had to matter enough to me. That for me, that reason was I wanted to be a successful personal trainer. I wanted to have long-lasting, life-lasting, and sustainable changes in my clients' lives, and I wanted to reach more than just one client. And so I had to modify and move on. I had to move on from what was comfortable. Now, my second story I wanted to share with you is a little bit different, and it's a story I know many of you will certainly relate to. About a few years ago, more than a few years ago, I was engaged to someone other than my husband. And it was the first love of my life. It was my first real relationship. And this man not only swept me off my feet, but brainwashed me emotionally and mentally abused me and controlled me. It was a very toxic relationship. It was very controlling. It was abusive. It was dangerous. And it ended by my brother coming to, we were living in Chicago at the time, literally having to come and rescue me. My brother flew from Pennsylvania to Chicago, you know, ripped the ring off my finger, made me get on an airplane to go home to essentially save me. Now, the reason I share that is because that I was at rock bottom after that point, because in that situation, I had lost my entire identity. I had been just convinced by this man that I was no good. I was unlovable. I was damaged goods, that no one would love me like he did. That, I mean, every lie you could think of, he told it. He also financially just devastated me. I mean, charged up all this money on my credit cards, bad stuff. I mean, just, it doesn't even need, I don't even need to go into it. But I do need you to know the story so that you know that I got to a point of true brokenness. A place where I lost who I was. I didn't know who I was anymore. But more than that, I'd had somebody for the last couple of years talking to me and literally telling me, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You were a big fish in a little pond before. Now you're a little fish in a big pond and you're going to get swallowed up and you've got no potential. And he laughed at me when I would sit down to start writing a book. I mean, just beaten down. And when he was out of my life and I had to rebuild and I knew that I didn't want to be a victim, I was not going to be a victim, I was not going to wallow in self-pity, I went, I got to change something. I don't know who I am. I have lost my sense of direction. I have no strength, no confidence, no security, no financial background backing at all, not even a dollar to my name. How am I going to rebuild? And that again was another crossroads for me where I had to say, I have to decide not to be a certain way anymore. I will prove to myself that I am stronger than I ever thought I would. This person stole my strength from me, told me I was no good. I'm going to show myself just how good I am. I'm going to show myself just how strong I am. I'm going to show myself that I am valuable, that I can do great things, that I am going to make a difference, that I will find someone who will love me, not just as much, but better and more completely and not in a controlling and dysfunctional manner. But I needed to make a decision that, and I didn't know where to go. I just knew I had to make that decision. I didn't know how to move from there, guys. But I knew I would not resign myself to believe that I was who this person had said I was. I had to believe better. I chose to believe better in myself. I chose to believe that I had strength. I chose to believe that I had courage. I chose to believe that I could be adaptable, that I could make, you know, and sure enough, within a year, I paid my parents back all the money that they had bailed me out on. I bought a brand new car. I went from driving a beater to a brand new car. I bought a house. I mean, I 180'd my life in less than 12 months while being emotionally wrecked, crying every night, being just feeling like I was lost. But the thing is when you move on and you make a decision, no matter how big or small that decision might be, you don't really need more than that. You just need to make that decision and say, I'm going to start doing esteem. I want self-esteem in this area. So I'm going to start doing esteemable things related to this. And sure enough, as that year went on, as the next year went on, I did. I built my strength. I built my confidence. I started running. I started doing a triathlon, my Ironman. I mean, thing after thing, I was just proving to myself, wow, the identity and the adjectives that you choose to set out for yourself, when you choose that, you make a decision and you point your life in that direction towards that as your compass, you really can become that person. You are not what that one person said to you. You are not that circumstance that wiped you out on your butt and had you fall flat on the ground. There is hope. It's never too late, and you are never too far gone. And I just want you to hear those stories because I want you to know that for everyone, we all come to a crossroads where there's a time to reset. That we have to reset ourselves, that we need to just say, okay, it's time to stop thinking about this and just take action. Or it's time to stop wallowing this and instead make a change. And you've heard me say this once, I'm going to say it over and over. If you want to change something, you have to change something. And it's time to stop blaming on everyone else or looking externally and feeling like this is just how it's meant to be. It's not. And that's the attitude of a defeatist and an excuse maker. And you are neither one of those. I have an amazing quote, and you saw this on my Facebook page. I posted it along with today's podcast episode. But in case you didn't, here it is. It's from Socrates. It's, I think, so beautiful. He wrote, "Let him that would move the world first move himself. Let him that would move the world first move himself." I wanted to move the world. I've had that passion on my heart, that desire to really make a difference since I can remember. But as I shared, I went through a phase in my life that I had to learn that first, that I could move myself. And so I want you to hear me clearly when I talk about all this self-development and self and self-reflection and self-improvement. I want you to hear me very clearly and concretely that I'm not just talking about being egocentric. In fact, it's not that at all. But in line with what Socrates says here, if you want to move the world, you must move yourself first. So I need you to pour into yourself, to develop yourself, to build your confidence, find the strategies and the lifestyle habits and routines that work for you so that then you can be a leader and then you can be a mentor to others. You have to be able to move yourself first if you want to really move and inspire others. So I want to close today's episode before we get into, of course, we'll have a listener of the episode, but the main content of today's episode, I do want to close out with just some reflection questions. I want you to really be able to put these concepts that we're talking about, this moving on into action. And I have these questions in my show notes. It's trishblackwell.com/show-notes. Oh, I just made that up. That's not even, don't go to that link. It's in trishblackwell.com/podcasts. Wow. I've certainly been awake this morning. There's no reason I should be having brain farts, but okay. So trishblackwell.com/podcasts. You can get all these questions right in there. Episode number 65. Number one, what exactly is it that you want to take action on? I'm going to read each question for you twice so you can really let it sink in. What exactly is it that you want to take action on? Number two, why have you been waiting to do it? Why have you been waiting to do it? Number three, I'm really going to hurt your feelings here, but if you've been waiting to do something and making excuses, the name fits. Are you ready to stop being an excuse maker? Are you ready to stop being an excuse maker? Question number four, how exactly do you want to define yourself from here on out? How exactly do you want to define yourself from here on out? Now, in this particular question, I do have a recommended exercise. Now, if you're driving your car or running on the treadmill right now, please don't stop, but do this later today. Take a pen and paper out and come up with the seven adjectives, seven character traits with which you want to describe yourself. That's the best way to answer this question, how exactly do you want to define yourself from here on out? Remember, it's not about who cares about from here on before. I mean, from here on out. Now, just to get your juices flowing, I'll share mine with you. I want to define, these were decisions I decided when I was rebuilding my life. How do I want to define myself from here on out? I want to, number one, be confident. Number two, be authentic. Number three, be loving. Number four, be generous. Number five, be bold. Number six, be honorable. And number seven, be trustworthy. So my seven adjectives are confident, authentic, loving, generous, bold, honorable, and trustworthy. Make a list for yourself. Write those down. Write them somewhere you'll see them on a consistent basis. Write them on your phone, on your planner. It's a good daily reminder to go, hey, if I'm living out some of these characteristics today, then I'm living out my mission. Then I'm living one step closer to the me that I'm supposed to be. And when I live one step closer to the me that's supposed to be, that means I'm moving myself. And as I move myself, I'm going to be empowered to move others. And the final question I have for you is, what action do you need to take today to really move on towards the best you? You can be, or towards your dreams, or towards leaving whatever it's kind of been making you run around in circles, leaving that in the past and actually moving on. What action step? And I just actually wrote down three sample action steps. I mean, when I mean action steps, what actions? I really like a simple 1-2-3 step guide. So for instance, if you're somebody that really wants to write a book and you've been thinking about this for years and you just have this deep desire, but you don't know where to start. Number one, stop making excuses and pull out your laptop and start typing. That's action step number one. You don't have to know what you're typing. It doesn't even have to be good content. You just have to get in the habit of typing and writing and setting aside a couple minutes a day to do that. The next thing, step number two, in this example, tell three other people you're writing a book. Give yourself some accountability. And then step number three is make a writing schedule. So schedule that from 7 a.m. to 7:45 a.m. every morning, you're going to sit down and write. And now maybe you write one sentence and maybe you're going to write three pages one day. It doesn't matter. All that matters is you write. You have that 45-minute schedule and you stick to it. So that's an example of an action plan to really move on if that's your goal. Let me give you one more. If you are feeling stuck, you're just kind of in this cycle, you've listened to all my podcasts, you know it's all good stuff, you're not really sure what to move on to next, but you keep saying, well, it's gonna happen automatically. I'm certainly gonna start feeling better, or I'm gonna be able to put this into practice, but you're not actually practicing it. Your action plan would be to, number one, identify past excuses and take ownership of whatever it is that's making you kind of run that hamster wheel, whatever it's preventing you from breaking free, whether it's fear, insecurity, you know, fear of the unknown, just discomfort of thinking about having to change a habit or a pattern. Action step number two is to identify how you want to be from here on out. Really take question number four that I shared with you today on how you want to define yourself. Really take that to heart. Write it out. Spend a lot of time thinking about it and think about why you want to define yourself by those traits. And then again, just a sample, an action step could be to sign up for something that is guaranteed to drive your action with actual follow through, with accountability and follow through. And one way to do that would be through my insecurity detox program, which if you haven't heard about that, you can find out everything you need to know about that at trishblackwell.com/insecurity-detox. And guys, I want the best for you. I want you to move on. I want you to start defining yourself for who you are now and who you will be from here on out. Stop making excuses. Stop waiting for everything to change tomorrow. Make today the day that you say, I'm not going to be this way anymore. I'm going to make a significant change. I'm going to prove to myself that I can move myself, because my end goal is ultimately to be able to move and inspire others alongside with me. I know you can do that. I have just given you the tools, and now I want you to go put it into practice. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and dive into the listener episode. This listener comes from my Facebook fan page, and if you are not yet chilling with me every day on Facebook, you are super mistaken. You better come hang out with me. It's facebook.com/TrishBlackwellFitness. And we are highlighting Gina Lynn DeVries. I'm sorry if I said your last name wrong, Gina, but I think I might have gotten it right. 50-50 shot here. But Gina just published her first book, and I wanted to celebrate that. Here's what she writes. Hey, Trish, just wanted to send you some good positive vibes, thanking you for taking the time to do your podcast. There have been so many times that you've just pulled me up out of the poor me state of mind. When I know full well I'm living my life just as I want, I believe fully that if you don't like it, change it. Even if it's a little change, if you do it and feels good, then you are only going to get better. I just put my first book out there, and I'm very happy that I took charge of my inner self. The book is my healing and my belief that if it's good, then do it again. Keep up the work, girl. We need you. Thanks again, Gina. And Gina, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Huge congrats to you with the book. I know what a feat that feels like. It feels like giving birth to a baby. It's an amazing accomplishment, and I just want to applaud you and celebrate you for that. And I know your story is going to encourage many others out there who realize that they can, in fact, reach that little dream of theirs. That's a little dream. You might think it's a big dream, but in reality, our big dreams are actually really small. We have such a messed up perception of what is capable for us, and what we're capable of, and what is really possible. So I'm saying, call your big dreams little ones, because they are achievable, and you will attain them if you start defining yourself, how you really are, and who you want to be right now, and who you're going to be in the future. Remember, everything you do today is an investment in yourself in the future. And by investing in yourself, ultimately, you're investing in others.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.